Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In these few remarks, when we refer to Saul or to Paul, we're referring to the same person. The man was known by both names. In his early life, he was Saul of Tarsus, a tent maker and a very zealous and devout Jew. Later in life, he's known as Paul, the apostle of Christ. Physically, he was the same man, but spiritually and inwardly, there was quite a difference. The first mention of this man is in Acts chapter 7. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now this was at the time when Stephen was being stoned to death by those who hated him and the gospel that he preached to them. And Saul was in agreement with what was taking place, and he watched over the garments of those who did the actual stoning of this Christian. The scripture says Saul was consenting unto his death. Now it surely takes a man that's capable of cruelty and hate and violence and bitterness to be so void of compassion as to consent to such an illegal and immoral conduct that was manifested that day to a helpless and outnumbered servant of God. Yes, the first mention of Saul was a time when he was an enemy of God, even though he considered himself God's friend. He was a satanic influence and a power against the very cause for which the Son of God had given his all. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison, Acts 8 and verse 3. Listen to Paul as he describes his early life. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation in Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul admitted in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13, I was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. He wrote to the Galatian churches and said, For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Dear listening friend, words almost fail to adequately describe the wickedness, the viciousness, the corruptness of a person like Saul of Tarsus regarding the faith of Christ. He also said of himself that he was the chiefest of sinners, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. But the man Paul was very different. Listen to him in Acts chapter 26. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to great and small, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now this man Paul, he suffered a great deal for the cause of Jesus Christ he formerly persecuted. He wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The Apostle Paul was almost alone in his final years, and he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "This thou knowest, that all that are in Asia turned away from me." But still he faced death with assurance and comfort. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." At the close of Paul's life, his attitude toward those who forsook him was much like that of Stephen. Stephen had prayed, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And Paul wrote concerning those who turned against him, "May it not be laid to their account." His attitude toward hardships he called upon to suffer, "But I would have you to understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Philippians 1 and verse 12. This man who once consented unto the death of the saints with violence and hatred, later was used by the Holy Spirit to pen some of the most brotherly and compassionate words to his brethren that one can read. Once he cried for the superiority of the Jews, but later he wrote, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye been Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:27-29. And he wrote that God is no respecter of persons. Romans 2 and verse 11. We cannot avoid being stricken with the immense change that took place in this man, once called Saul, but later Paul. But what caused this change? How did it come about? Well, the Bible tells us. Saul was on his way to Damascus with the mission of expanding his persecution of Christians. We will let Paul tell us in his own inspired words what happened. In Acts chapter 22, beginning with verse 6, "And it came to pass that, as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. At the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and should see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now this is one of three accounts of the conversion of Saul to become the Apostle Paul. Now, having read Paul's words, let us be aware that Saul had known about Christ for a long time. He'd been opposing Christians. Now he hears the voice of the Lord. It was the words from the Lord that convinced him that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And on this road, further instructions were given to him to go into Damascus. And there was a man named Ananias who came to him and told him what he was to do. And he was to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 16. And this penitent man, unable to eat and drink for 3 days, obeyed what he was commanded to do. Let us hear Paul again tell about the power that caused the change of the life, change in his life that took place. He said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Just as a surgeon's knife separates diseased tissue from the good and healthy, so the word of God separates sin from the soul. What is that power? It is the gospel. It is the word of God. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 8:32. He further said, thy word is truth. John 17:17. Friend, it is the word of God that sets man free from his sins and grants him salvation. It is the word of God that causes one to cease the life of sin and become a child that God would have him to be. The change from Saul to Paul, from persecutor to preacher, is but one example of conversion of which we read in Acts and other places. Consider Matthew, the tax collector, who became an inspired writer of Scripture. Or consider Peter, who went from a fisherman to a fisher of men. And what of the Jews that were so hate-ridden that they called for the death of the Son of God, but later became by the thousands to obey the gospel of Christ and to be added to his church? All heard the word, they believed the word, they obeyed the word. When I was very young and attended college, I remember meeting an older student who'd once had been a part of Hitler's armed forces in Germany. And after the war, he returned to his home in Frankfurt with no job, no food, no family, nothing but a disgrace of defeat. And he was found by a man named Otis Gatewood, one of our brethren who had entered Germany as a missionary. Brother Gatewood was the first American to enter that nation as a missionary after the war. He took this once proud German, who was sick and in poverty, he nurtured him physically and taught him spiritually, converting him to Christ. The man later came to this country to learn how to preach the gospel, and later returned to Germany. And the last I ever heard of him, that's what he was doing, preaching the gospel in Germany. But what caused that change in that man? It was the word of God, taught and practiced. The good news to you and to me, indeed, to all mankind, is that the word of God still accomplishes the same beneficial things for anyone who will come to Christ according to his teaching. Peter said, the word liveth and abideth forever, 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. It is still God's power unto salvation. It can change the present from what we are into what we ought to be. And that being true, is it not strange how many will resist to the death the influence of the gospel in their lives? Some are satisfied to remain in their sins. Some are deceived into thinking that physical welfare means spiritual welfare and do not wish even to consider Christ at all. What spiritual change do you really need? Many have been touched by the influence of the gospel before you. Do you wish to become more faithful as a servant of the Lord? Are there unbecoming habits that you need to abandon? Would you have more love in your heart for others? Do you desire to be a better example of Christ's likeness to those around you? Have you ever brought your life into harmony with God at all? How else can you lay hold on the promise of eternal life as long as you keep yourself separate from the only source of life, which is Jesus Christ? Dear listening friend, the way to accomplish what is needed is by and through the revealed will of God. That same gospel that changed Saul of Tarsus will change you, if only you will do as he did, namely, having heard it, believe it, and obey it. Think of what Saul was, and think of what he became, and think of what you are, and think of what God wants you to become. The Word of God is the answer to your most urgent spiritual welfare. Believe in Christ as the Son of God and repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ and obey His command to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And then spend your life adding to your knowledge of the Word of God, practicing what you learn in daily life, day by day, following Christ. And let your prayer be as the song suggests, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.